The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth. But no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Do you remember the story? School officials at Bremerton High School suspended and later fired football coach Joe Kennedy because this radical, anti-American, hateful, bigoted, homophobic, all the other obics, because he prayed a brief quiet prayer after football games out on the field, after the game. And so back all the way back, this goes all the way back. This is amazing. To 2015, Coach Joe Kennedy, Bremerton, Washington, which is way up north of Portland, out there in the middle of nowhere. 2015, this story goes back to. And they fired him. You can't go out there and pray because you know Joe. Hey, Coach, you Christian idiot. There's a separation of church and state, and you're violating the Establishment Clause because, you know, you work for the state when you work for the high school. You work for the city, which means you work for the state. And if you work for the quote-unquote state, then you can't be doing any of that religious stuff, man. That's a violation of the separation of church and state and a violation of the Establishment Clause because, you know, you're forcing your religion on people. Really, the guy would go out to the middle of the field and take a knee and pray silently for 15, 20 seconds after the game. And that's what started this whole mess. Do you remember this one? Anyway, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I had a chance to sit down with Coach Joe and Jeremy Dice, who's been on the show before from First Liberty Institute, which was started by Kelly Shackelford. They're down in Texas, fighting the good fight of faith via the free speech argument, especially when it comes to Christians. And the fact that this had to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And at the beginning of July, just a couple months ago, Coach Joe got his victory. He got one in the W column, and they reversed several decisions in lower courts that were basically upholding. Yeah, you can't do that prayer stuff because you're a ward of the state, and that's a high school football stadium, like high school football stadium, and you can't bring that Christianity stuff in here. You need to stay in your churches on Sunday. Keep all that whack job stuff out of here. And so all the way to the United States Supreme Court. It's an amazing the reality that happened at all. First Liberty Institute filed a lawsuit against the school district, arguing that banning coaches from quietly praying just because they can be seen by the public is wrong and violates the U.S. Constitution. Now, this is a correct reading of the Constitution. The U.S. District Court for the Western District of Washington and then the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit sided with the school district. So First Liberty appealed again to the United States Supreme Court in January of this year. They agreed to hear the case. They heard the oral arguments in April and at the beginning of July. In a 6-3 vote, boy, I wonder what lines that went along, 6-3. And praise the Lord that the Chief Justice Roberts voted with the majority. But 6-3, so there are three people there, the liberals, that think you don't have a right to your free speech when you're talking about, you know, Christianity. And so it's just an amazing case, and praise the Lord for First Liberty Institute and people like Alliance Defending Freedom and others, Thomas More Association, because these are Christian attorneys that are out there fighting the good fight of faith. And Coach Joe Kennedy he served in the military, and he's a patriot, right? And he knew his rights, but he's willing to stand up for his rights before he was willing to die for them, for him and others. And then when it came to having his own rights stripped, he decided to stand up for it. So I spent some time with Coach Joe and Jeremy Dice from the First Liberty Institute this Saturday. I'm going to play that interview for you, and then we'll get to David Fisher at the end of the show. But this is a great story, and praise the Lord for the victory. I'm just going to set it up here. We're just going to play the first part, then we'll hit the pause button, and we'll go back to it when we get the next segment. All right, ready, Josh? All right, let's go.
The very first time you decided to just go out there.
My sound was kind of off.
Was it really kind of Facing the Giants? Was it a movie inspiration? What got you out there?
Yeah, it was absolutely a movie inspiration. I wish I was original in, you know, coming up with by myself. But I was offered the job on a Friday. And that weekend, I said, well, let me think about it over the weekend. And Facing the Giants was on. And, you know, God doesn't come around very often, but boy, he knocked me to my knees. And just like in the movie, the guy said, I am going to give you the glory after every game, win or lose. And I just added, I'm going to do that right there on the battlefield. And that was my covenant with God. And it was not a big deal because it was just some guy out there taking a knee for 15 seconds and saying, God, you're awesome. Thanks for this.
In the first few years, did anybody make an issue of it?
No, it was actually we were in our eighth football season, and nobody even made a complaint about it. Actually, everything started from a compliment.
All right, keep going. Fish on.
Yeah. So one of the administrators from one of the other schools saw what we were doing after our football games and called the principal and said, hey, I just wanted to call and say what your football program is doing is really awesome. So, of course, anytime you get a compliment right. like that, you got to do an investigation. Their attorneys got involved. They started making these rules. Don't pray. You know, you could pray by yourself. Or what did they say? They said you could pray as long as it doesn't interfere with your job duties. Well, that's not a problem. 15 seconds sure. is nothing. Then they said, oh, well, just don't pray with the kids. And I was like, well, that's not what my thing was. That's not a big deal. You know, I'm just thanking God anyway. But then they said, yeah, we can still see you doing that. So you need to stop doing it altogether. That's where I was. I mean, my back was against the wall. I had a line that I could not cross. And that's why I needed help. And at First Liberty Institute just came. I mean, like God just shows up when
were
it's a perfect time.
You were running into that because when you call First Liberty, and Jeremy's here with us, of course, for you guys, you know this is going on all over the place. But regular people out there just doing your job and trying to exercise your faith aren't really all that aware.
Right.
It's actually happening.
You know, I was in the Marines for 20 years, which, supporting and defending the Constitution. Thank you. Supporting and defending the Constitution really meant something to me. And I knew the First Amendment, that you have these freedoms. The Second Amendment, everybody, you have all of these rights, but all of a sudden they don't apply to me, and it rubbed me the wrong way, especially as a Marine. Yeah. I was a brand new Christian, so it wasn't that really bad of a rub because I didn't know what I was doing sure. with God anyway. So, yeah, but it was a real, just an eye-opener. And I was like, are you kidding me? No, I have the First Amendment. The Constitution protects my rights to do this.
Well, to that point, and Jeremy, you know this.
We'll go ahead and pause it right there. I was talking to Coach Joe Kennedy from Bremerton, Washington, Bremerton High School, who was suspended and then fired because he took a knee and went out to pray on the field after the game was over. No, you can't do that. But praise the Lord, the Supreme Court found for him in July, just this summer. And these are the freedoms that we need to understand, number one. Number two, the big question for all of us, are you willing to fight for it? Coach Joe was. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. I was at the Salt and Light Conference with our friends at the Faith and Freedom Coalition over the weekend down in Charlotte. And I had a chance, Pete Hegseth from Fox News and Fox and Friends on Saturday. This book I've referenced so many different times, Battle for the American Mind, had a chance to meet him and exchange some information. I've been talking to his publicist, so I'm going to get him on here. And then James O'Keefe was there with Project Veritas, had a conversation with him and got his press secretary, got his new book. And so I'm going to get through that and we'll get James O'Keefe on. And just met several other Patriots and great people, amongst them Coach Joe Kennedy, as well as Jeremy Dice from the First Liberty Institute in Texas. Coach Joe, back to 2015, is a new Christian, decides I'm just going to go out there after the game's over. I'm going to go out to the center field. I'm going to take a knee and I'm going to thank God. Whether we won or lost, I'm going to thank God. By himself, silently, 15 seconds, right? The high school, Bremerton High School there in Washington, the state of Washington, is like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't, if it's going to disrupt your job, you can't do that. And he's like, it doesn't. It takes 15 seconds. Maybe I walk out there, I pray, I come back. It's about a minute. That's not disrupting anything. Obviously, it's not compulsory. You can't tell people to come out and do it with you. But then they told him, you can't be seen. You can't even be seen praying. And he's, as a veteran, he's like, forget this junk. And then that's when he connected with First Liberty Institute. This goes back to 2015. And it was just the beginning of July this year when they finally won at the U.S. Supreme Court. Had to go all the way through that. Isn't that disgusting? But Joe knew his rights well enough And then he made the big step, which most of us, more of us need to be able, willing to make, is he decided to fight. I'm not just going to take it. I know what my rights are. You can't deny me my rights, which is one of the foundational principles of this country in the first place, which is called the tradition of dissent, which goes all the way back to the 1500s and Martin Luther when he dissented from so many things about the Catholic Church. That's the tradition of dissent, which rose up through Protestantism, which gave birth to individual liberty, individualism in general, that you had a shot, you have rights, and you don't have to have the right last name or be wealthy or be part of the aristocracy to have those rights. You have those rights simply because you are made in the image of God. And all this stuff factors into what we now call the United States of America. This is all part of the story. It's what I teach in U.S. history. It's also what I teach in my civics class. NobleUschool.com if you want information on that. So back to this interview with Joe, and then Jeremy, you're going to hear from him. Incredible mind, great lawyer at First Liberty Institute, about this whole story. Let's pick it up there. Go ahead.
As students every week that I teach. So I teach civics, U.S. history, and Christian ethics. And I tell them, if you don't know your rights, you essentially don't have any.
You should come up to Bremerton and teach.
I would love to. So Jeremy, at the school level, is it ignorance? Is it hostility? What's behind this? Because it's been going on for a while. Obviously, we see it more in the press. But what's going on in their minds? What's going on in the school system that they come out and deny somebody something that's constitutional?
Yeah, look, I think for most school districts, it's probably just ignorance, or they've heard the drumbeat for so long of this thing called separation of right. church and state that they've begun to actually believe that that thing actually exists, when in fact it doesn't. And I think also school board attorneys across the country, at least the ones that I've run into, which are a lot of them across the country, have beat the drum that this thing called the Establishment Clause trumps everything else in the First Amendment of the Constitution. So the Establishment Clause, whenever religion pops up on public square, they think that they have to then pull out this can of Lysol that they call the Establishment Clause and spray down every surface in the room so that religion's infection doesn't infect everybody else.
So are they thinking, and this is like at a second grade level, that because Joe works for the state, he works for the school system, he works for the public, therefore, if he's exercising his religion, it's like he's establishing something.
Actually, their argument is even more pernicious than that. It wasn't just the fact that he was, you know, speaking, because actually it was all quiet what he was doing. He was just taking a knee in silent prayer for 15 to 30 seconds. But the very fact that they could see him, and that students could see him engage in what the school district called demonstrative religious activity, that was enough to violate the Establishment Clause of the Constitution and mandate that the school district, not just that they couldn't tolerate him, that they had to ask him to stop, but they actually had to fire him lest he infect the entire rest of the school district here. But the Supreme Court thankfully put that thinking to rest, and no longer should any school district ever have to think that ever again. In fact, Justice Gorsuch's opinion, he goes to great lengths to say that it's not the job of the school district to go around there hunting down phantom constitutional violations of the Establishment Clause. He reminded everybody that there's actually this other clause in the First Amendment that's pretty darn important as well, which is the Free Exercise Clause. And as important as the Establishment Clause may be, that Free Exercise Clause guarantees people like Coach Kennedy the right to be able to engage his faith while even on the job or during the private times that he has, between on the job. And so the school district's job is to protect all of that, to show respect and tolerance towards religion, not to have to punish it, to drive it off campus, and to fire people if they actually engage in it at all. In other words, the school district does not own every word that comes out of his mouth. They do not own every moment that he is employed from 8 to 5 or whenever the time frame was for him as a coach. They can't claim every aspect of your citizenship while you're a school teacher or a coach. You actually have to respect the rights and freedoms and privileges that they have as American citizens, even when they walk through those schoolhouse gates. That's vitally important going forward in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. So that sets a precedent. Did that not exist before? Had none of these cases made it to the Supreme Court?
Well, it existed. And then back in 1971, this case called Lemon versus Kurtzman came along and just threw everything upside down. Now, think about that for a minute. That was 1971. We know about 1973, Roe v. Wade, and how important or how overwhelming that case has been for the last five generations. Well, in the same way, 1971, that case has been around for five generations and has suppressed religious activity in this country, whether that's on school campuses or in public parks or wherever religion may find itself in the public square. That case has controlled, and that was the can of Lysol that the government would use to spray down the surfaces to make sure religion didn't infect anybody if it came out of its hiding hole inside the church. Instead, today, that case is gone. Coach Kennedy's case overruled that case. It no longer exists, and you and I now have more freedom than we've ever had in all of our lifetimes.
Yeah, that's the Lemon Law, and I've had to deal with that myself. So, Coach Joe, you've probably gotten a theology lesson Christianity 101 lesson and a civics lesson all in one over the last couple of years. Are you surprised how massive and all-encompassing this thing became?
Absolutely. You know, you look on a map, everybody's, where is Bremerton? You know, Bremerton, Washington, where is that?
Google Maps,
so,
baby.
Yeah, and of all things, I was a high school football coach, you know, of Nowhereville. So it's really amazing that something so trivial to me, you know, in the eyes of what's going on in the world, this can make that kind of impact. And I had no idea it was going to affect everybody the way that it has. You know, it freed up the, you know, the whole lemon thing. And I mean, I just wanted to take a knee and coach football. That was it. So God works in weird ways. And
yeah,
when he shows up and does it.
What's been the hardest part about this for you?
With my family and having them go through it. My wife, she was the HR director for the school district. Oh, and that was a real hard time for us. We had two kids that were in the high school, one at the middle school. And it was hard on our family. I mean, it's hard enough just raising a family to begin with. And being on top of that, where you're going through a lawsuit, essentially suing my wife and her employers. And over the years, you know, people always take shots at anybody. Sure. You know, nobody wants to talk anymore. And you got all those brave people behind the, you know, the keyboard commandos.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, it's been hard just keeping things in perspective and, you know, just got to remain, you know, humble and say, you know, I'm just some schmuck that, you know, happen to
that's
stand up for the right thing.
Yeah, we'll pause it right there. Did you hear that? His wife worked in HR for the school district, and he had two kids in the school system. And he was still willing to step up to the plate, still willing to fight for his rights, and by proxy, fighting for your rights and my rights. So what's our excuse, right, when you don't stand up? Whether it's COVID and vaccine mandates and all that stuff or your freedom of speech, are we willing to stand up? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I was talking on Saturday with Coach Joe Kennedy and Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Coach Joe, all the way back in 2015, just to say he was a new Christian. He had seen the movie Facing the Giants and just made a covenant with the Lord. Hey, Lord, after every game, I'm going to go out on the field when the game's over. I'm just going to take a knee. I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank you. And if you saw Facing the Giants, you know, we're going to praise you when we win and we're going to praise you when we lose. We're just going to praise you. And so that's what he did. Out there silently, invited nobody else, just went himself. And then eventually they were like, no, can't do that. Another school actually called his school and said, man, we think it's awesome what you're doing with the school, with the football program, and we'd like to do that too. And then, of course, that starts an investigation. And they tell him, listen, you can't do that. That's a violation of the separation of church and state and the establishment clause, blah, 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 speaking completely out of ignorance. And then Coach Joe was like, it doesn't seem right. And then they said to him, you can't be seen praying because you work for the state. Because he worked for the high school, right? You can't even be seen praying. That's offensive. We have to disinfect that. And so Jeremy Dice, who I also interviewed, he was there with Coach Joe from First Liberty Institute, mentioned the Lemon versus Kurtzman law, which goes back to 1971. I'm going to explain that one to you because that's been used to muzzle Christians ever since until this case. This case is precedent setting. Coach Joe's win at the United States Supreme Court at the beginning of July this year got rid of the Lemon Law. That's what they call it, the Lemon Law. And now you have more freedom. Well, you have the amount of freedom that you're supposed to have in the first place when it comes to free speech, free exercise of your Christian faith, including prayer. That's why this case is so important. So let's finish up the interview with Coach Joe and Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Then if I have a little time, I'll explain the Lemon versus Kurtzman case to you from 71. All right, let's go.
By the way, the original language, that's pretty good. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm waiting right now, and I have been waiting. This is the eighth football season that I've been waiting to get back on the sidelines with my team. And I didn't want to crash the party. These coaches and this team has started, you know, I these kids weren't even, you know, in school. They were, kindergarten
probably, yeah.
When all of this happened. But all the coaches that are there, I don't want to come in and be this big spectacle. It's been hard enough on our community and our school and our football program. So we thought it would be a whole lot better to start fresh and kind of earn my stripes back on the team and get to know who the coaches and these kids are and – Do
and coach
right.
is being very generous too, because you would think that you just snap your fingers after the Supreme Court is deciding right. this case and you're back right?
On the job the next
it day. Doesn't work that way very well. You actually have to get a final order from the court where you file the lawsuit and get the whole thing resolved. And the only way to do that is to sit down with the school district and work that all out. Well, we've asked three different times to sit down with them to do that. We've asked the court to order them to do that, which the court did in August. Mm-hmm. And we still have not had any sit-down with the court. Instead, the school district is running to the press, acting all agog that he's not right. back on the field yet, and pointing at everybody but themselves as the reason why that would be. And even worse than all of that, it's the rare case where we've gone to the Supreme Court of the United States and come back to a worse policy than was there before. The school district has, in response to this case, adopted a new policy that permits private personal conduct while on campus if you get your supervisor's permission to do so before. And this is the real kicker. If you're engaged in personal private conduct, whether that be checking social media, sending a text message, or taking a knee in private prayer, you have to have a 25-foot buffer zone around you from any student on campus. And so for the teacher walking through the hallway trying to send a text message to see if his right. kid's going to get picked up at daycare or not, he's got to kind of run yelling, unclean, unclean, or something to keep the kids away from him. And in the coach's situation, if a kid steps over the 41-yard line when he's at the 50, well, he's got a heckler's veto over what the coach is doing, which is something that Justice Gorsuch specifically warned against in his opinion. Yeah. So Coach's case is going to be over, and we're going to get that over fairly soon. But I think as soon as we get that wrapped up, I might be back up there knocking on doors to find out if there's any sure. of the teachers that want to challenge that policy because it's absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and we've seen that. I mean, nobody's hiding anything anymore. That's the nice thing about it. It's so aggressive at this point that nobody's hiding in a closet. Everybody's kind of out there now. But still, if there's a person with a life and a wife and a family, that it's got to be somebody else. It can't always be Joe.
Yeah.
So that's my question for you, Joe, Coach. What do you say to parents who have kids in the school system in terms of just your faith, the intersection of your faith, the anti-Christian bias that obviously exists in most school systems? What's your encouragement to them? And then, Jeremy, I want to ask you that same basic question from a legal perspective.
Mine is very simple. It's just be who you are. I mean, it's been pounded down our throats so much of the whole, inclusion and diversity and everything. That works both ways.
Right.
I have tolerance for just about everybody, and I try to have grace for everybody. Well, that's where you have to know what's actually happening around you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hide. I've never hid from anything. You don't have to hide who you are. You could be proud to be a Christian. You could stand up and go, yeah, I love God. Jesus is my Savior. So what?
Yeah.
This is America. Exercise your rights, because if you don't, you're going to end up losing them. And it just takes a little bit at a time, and they'll chip away from it, and we end up where we are today.
Well, I love to use those words as well, diversity and inclusion. I'm like, yeah. Can I be included in that?
Yeah.
I'd love to be included. I mean, diversity in the United States, it started pretty early. 1619 on one hand, 1620 on the other. We've been a diverse nation since the get-go. I'm one of those different groups. Can I be a part of the club, too? And
yeah.
That's something I'd like to use that language
absolutely.
Against those that want to use it against us. And go, I'm just asking you to be inclusive. That's all I'm asking.
That's it.
Right.
And you're the one that has the big flag for inclusivity, so why can't I fly it, too? That's a great point.
Yeah, no. Look, I think folks just need to know what their rights are and be able to exercise them when it comes to be their turn. I mean, if we can preserve freedom pretty simply in this country, which is just simply knowing what freedom actually is, what it means, and sitting down at the kitchen table with our kids and telling them what this country is all about and what those freedoms are for them. So that if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you got kids in the schools, make sure you're going to firstliberty.org, learning what your rights actually are so that when they go to school, they know what those are. If you're in the public square, go to firstliberty.org so you know how to act as an employee and an employer for your employees to maximize the amount of religious freedom. Religious freedom is the first freedom in our Constitution. It's the first one for a reason. It undergirds all the other ones that we have.
That's right.
So if we undermine that in any sphere that we might be in, whether that's in our houses of worship, our students in school, or teachers in school as well, whether that's in our military or the public square or our marketplace, we have to know what our religious liberty actually is, and not only know what it is, but be prepared
right.
to be able to stand up for it. Coach Kennedy could have done the easiest thing that everybody would have understood, and nobody would have known him, and he would have gotten out of the limelight entirely and just simply walked away from the entire thing. He could have done that, but a little bit of our freedom would have died in the process if he did. And instead, he took a knee to stand up for all of our religious freedom, and that's been critical for the future of our country.
Yeah, and that's the great point, right? And he did it, right? He wasn't looking for it. He could have just walked away. We've all probably done that. But he decided to stand. And in doing that, he secured freedom for Christians and people of other religions all across the country. Let me get to this real quick. Then we'll have David Fisher in the last segment. Talking about the Lemon Test. Okay, it goes back 50 years, 1971. The test, named after the Supreme Court decision in Lemon versus Kurtzman, made it too easy for people to claim they are offended by a religious display, then sue and win in court. The test caused many school administrators to mistakenly believe they had an obligation to suppress religious observances, often leading them to violate the rights of teachers and students. You can't talk about Jesus in your valedictorian speech. You can't include that in your, can't write on that in your project. You certainly can't pray in school. You can't pray in the lunchroom, and especially you teachers, blah, 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 blah. That all came out of that, the Lemon Test. That made them all paranoid. And then, of course, people that are anti-Christian would use that to bludgeon other Christians into being silent. Okay. And that's what got turned over. That's what's such a big deal in this. And so I'm reading from First Liberty's website, firstliberty.org. Last week's Supreme Court victory, talking about Joe's victory, finally vindicated Coach Kennedy. The decision rights the wrongs done to this American hero. He can return to the place he belongs, coaching on the field and quietly praying by himself. This victory, however, did not just deliver justice for only one coach in Washington State. It has a nationwide impact, listen up everybody, on public school teachers, employees, and coaches. It affirms their constitutional right to engage in brief, quiet, personal prayer in public and sets a major precedent for religious freedom in our country moving forward. Thanks to this win, you and millions of Americans have more religious liberty and more than you've had in more than a half a century. Okay, that's why this is such a big deal. So if you work in the public school system, you know somebody that works in the public school system, and they feel like they're actually violating the law to express their Christian faith in any way, that is a lie right from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. Okay, it's a lie. It's a violation. You do not check your First Amendment rights when you walk onto school property as a student or as a teacher. Now, as a teacher, you can't disrupt class, can't disrupt your usual job, but you take 5 seconds, 10 seconds to pray at the beginning of class just to yourself. And they say, you can't do that. Yes, I can. No, you can't. You have to stop or we'll fire you. You go ahead. You fire me and I'm going to sue you. I've had that conversation a few times myself with the Raleigh City Council chambers. When we first put up something that would pass the Lemon Test, the city of Raleigh could have put up the Christmas display we put up. But the next year, we got rid of all the secular symbols. We put up a very Christian nativity scene, complete with scripture. And I told them, I gave them 40 pages of the legal memoranda from my friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, Mike Johnson, who's now a congressman from Louisiana. And I said, if you deny us this, you will be violating our First Amendment rights. We will sue you and we will win. And 2 minutes later, the mayor goes, let's vote on this right now. And they voted unanimously to allow us to do it because we had enough of a history. They knew we would sue them and they knew that they'd lose and we would win. You have to know your rights and then you have to fight for it. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It was great to be able to talk to Coach Joe Kennedy over the weekend. We all need to be willing to stand up for our rights. You got to know what your rights are as a Christian in the United States of America, and then you got to be willing to stand up for them. So that's something we'll continue to trumpet and talk about here on the air. And I was having a good day today. I was having a good day until I pulled up. I wonder what the Dow did today. Well, that was down 329 points. Then I went online to look at our own stuff. Personally, and I saw it at a level that I've never seen it at before. And this isn't a woohoo, let's go to dinner. This is a I haven't seen it this low. Our own investment account, right? And that's sobering, man. And these things are real. This is going on. I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's going to get worse. And so that's why we're always so blessed to have our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital on here helping us to understand what's going on around us. And obviously the a huge rate hike last week and what's going on there, just so we can try to understand in a worldly sense what's happening and use wisdom and discernment, but also to remind ourselves that this isn't the whole deal. As a matter of fact, it's a very small blip on the radar screen of eternity. And we need to remember that. David, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling.
I think the word today is patience. We need our patience in a lot of ways.
Exactly right, which is takes us right into our scripture, which is a great choice today, 2 Peter 3:9. And this is such an important, so let's make sure we're listening here, because if you're getting beat up in the market like I am and like a lot of people are, this is really an important message before we dive into the nuts and bolts. But let's start there, 2 Peter 3:9. Thanks, David.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I'm feeling really healthy. It's been years since I've done some electrical work and hung some lights for my wife. She picked out a few lights this last week, and I said, I'll hang them on Saturday. So as I thought, I'm just going to blaze right through this, got through the first light. It took a lot longer than I thought. The second light took even longer. My patience was waning, Steve. We got to the third light, and what's the number one rule when you do electricity? Turn the electricity off.
Yes.
Well, I forgot. I was so like, I'm frustrated now. Like, this should be done by now, and zap.
Ouch.
And my wife was watching me. She says, did you just shock yourself? I go, yeah, I think the electricity's on. And what did I do? I touched it again just to make sure it was. So the moral of the story, you know, the bigger picture is sometimes life zaps us a little bit when we get too carried away and we think we have all this patience. But, you know, God looks in longer terms than we do. Mm-hmm. He wants to work out his image in us through challenges of life, yeah. Whether it be the market or electricity or whatever it is, health, wealth, our associates, our friendships, our marriage, and obviously the ultimate patience is he wants none to perish but all have eternal life. But after that, he wants to work out his image in our lives through challenges in life. So I gathered that from the markets. I gathered this over the weekend on Saturday. Boy, what a remembering time to kind of take a deep breath, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's such a valuable lesson for all of us. And we know God's will towards us is grace and kindness and abundance in many different ways. But oftentimes we're frustrated with his timetable. We go, this is taking too long. Well, not on God's schedule. And in terms of God's providence, and he knows what's best for us, he knows exactly how long we need to be in any particular trial or facing whatever we're facing. And even with stuff like right now, like I mentioned, just looking at our personal account today, I was depressing and I was like, oh man, this is really troublesome. But I know that eventually it won't matter at all. And we'll be in paradise. We'll be in a paradise that's beyond our comprehension and our ability to explain, just like it was for Paul. So it's such a great reminder. I always appreciate that. Well, to the bad news, stocks are lower this week than last. What are the numbers year to date, David, across the spectrum? I mean, I'm just looking at the Dow year to date, down over 7,000 points, which is just shy of 20%. This is shockingly bad.
19.5% for the Dow, 23%+ for the S&P, NASDAQ over 30, almost 31%. So the Dow is now in bear market territory as well as the other two indexes. The S&P just last week alone, 91% of the 500 stocks closed out the week at losses. So this is all caused by the Fed, other things. We'll get into that in a moment, but Goldman Sachs threw in the towel. They said, we're calling for the S&P to drop down to 3,600 mid last week. They said, we're at 3,655 at the close today.
Wow.
And then 2 days later, on Friday, they said, oh, the new low we're calling is 2,900 if
Whoa.
We get to a recession. They're not the only ones. In fact, they said there's going to be a hard landing now, but David Costin is the Goldman Sachs guy. He's been wrong, by the way. He's been saying 4,100 last December, saying where we'd be about right now. So he's been wrong. In fact, most of the guys who've been saying stocks are higher, all of us are all wrong. But his associate strategist, Dominic Wilson, is also in the 2,900 number for the S&P 500. And the Wall Street Journal came out today, said, buying the stock market dip is backfiring. Shares are continuing to plunge, denting the strategy that soared in popularity for decades, buying the dip. This is the worst year for buying in the dip stock market since the 1930s.
Oh, man. Yeah, because they keep thinking this is the bottom of the dip, and it hasn't been. I mean, again, you look at the NASDAQ, it's down 30.95% this year. That's crazy.
It's not going to be the bottom until the Fed stops raising rates, and I think that's really the key.
Yeah, that's so. I have to keep an eye on that. Speaking of rates, we know they're causing the markets to go down. Is there anything else about that? And that was a significant rate increase, 0.75 of the basis points. So it goes from, for example, when you hear that, just to not be confusing, if it's at 4, then it went to 4.75. Okay, so that's it's a big jump. But anything else kind of spooking the markets and causing this problem besides the obvious?
Well, there's the other thing that is the wild card, and I hate to bring it up, but the CNBC has been talking about it, and now it's becoming more mainstream news, and that's what Putin is ratcheting up. He said last Wednesday on a televised address that he said anybody wants to invade our territory, we'll pull out every arms and missiles at our disposal, and this is not a bluff. 2 days later, the previous Russian president said he doubled down, and he said he's including this as nuclear wars, the strategic nuclear weapons. And right the next day, one of our commanders, military, Admiral Charles Richard, said that this is not a bluff. So the Pentagon is taking this serious. So that's affecting the market. But the biggest thing is reducing inflation. They got to get the unemployment up to about 4.6%, which means another 1.3 million people will be unemployed. Powell said this is going to be painful. I wish there were a painless way to do this, but there isn't. So another 3/4 of a basis point rate hike in November, 50 points in December is what they're projecting, and February of next year, 0.25 point, this will bring the rate to 4.6%. Wow. And keep in mind, they were only going to be at like 3.25 by the end of the year. So this is a lot more than what they're projecting.
Yeah, and they have to. So we got the print it and spend it model. Obviously, that's not working to stimulate the economy. And a lot of people now, David, are just like, the government's trapped. Are they actually trapped? Is this not going to work, or do they have some wiggle room here?
Well, the Fed has like a dial. Or doesn't have a dial mode. It's basically an on or off switch, and they waited too long to start raising rates, so that's why they're behind the curve. But there's this whole adage over the past few decades, the system was not allowed to reset. They just kept printing a lot of paper and issuing a lot of debt, and now that's all stacking upon us. So we backed ourselves in a corner. The Fed is trapped. The government is trapped. Raising rates is bad for the Fed. It makes them lose money on their balance sheet, the $9 trillion. It makes the government unmanageable in the debt. So it's just a bad thing. And that's why we're going to see a movement towards gold. The dollar is at all-time highs. Excuse me, caught something in my throat here. The dollar's at a huge movement. In fact, it moved up 2.5% just last week alone.
Wow.
It's just a huge move. It's moved up 16% year-to-date. That's something you would see in 4 years.
Yeah.
So put into perspective, it's just a huge run in gold. Or huge run in the dollar. Gold should be like $1,100. It's $1,625 today. The biggest hedge fund in the world, which is the most successful hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater Associates, Ray Dalio is the CEO of that. His associate, Rebecca Patterson, the chief investment strategist, said she expects gold to outperform every other asset class. This is the largest hedge fund in the world that happens to be the most successful. And she goes on and says that on behalf of her clients, gold is the obvious play. She believes gold is a bargain at current levels. So I think it's undervalued with all the money, all the debt. It's going to make a turnaround. Now you want to learn about it, call my company.
Yeah, so what do people do? Education is the key here.
It is the key. So call my company. Get your answers to your questions. Get a packet, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
God bless you, brother. As always, thank you for the incredible information. So helpful, and just appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Have patience, everybody.
Amen. Have patience. God bless you, bro. We'll talk soon.
God bless.
Thanks. And we'll be back tomorrow. We've got a lot to cover. We've got a lot to do this week. So many things going on. We'll be all over it. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon, like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.